Yes, sir, because, sir, if we can get a lot of the lads out of the dungeons, sir, you'll be in command inside the enemy's citadel, sir. Blouse grew another inch, and then sagged again. Of course, there are some very senior officers here, all of them senior to me. Yes, sir, said Polly, well on the way to graduating from the Sergeant Jackram School of Outright Rupert Management. Perhaps we'd better try to let the enlisted men out first, sir. We don't want to expose the officers to enemy fire. It was shameless and stupid, but now the light of battle was in Blouse's eyes. Polly decided to fan it, just in case. Your leadership has really been a great example to us, sir, she said. Has it? Oh, yes, sir. No officer could have led a finer bunch of men, Perks, said Blouse. Probably they have, sir, said Polly. And what man could dare hope for such an opportunity, eh? Said Blouse. Our names will go down in the history books. Well, mine will, obviously, and I shall jolly well see to it that you chaps get a mention too. And who knows? Perhaps I may win the highest accolade that a gallant officer may obtain. What's that, sir? Said Polly dutifully. Having either a foodstuff or an item of clothing named after one, said Blouse, his face radiant. General Frock got both, of course. The frock coat and beef frock. Of course, I could never aspire that high. He looked down bashfully. But I have to say, Perks, that I have devised several recipes just in case. So we'll be eating a Blouse one day, sir, said Polly. She was watching the baskets being stacked. Possibly, possibly, if I may dare hope, said Blouse. My favourite is a sort of a pastry ring, do you see, soaked in rum. That's a rumbaba, sir, said Polly absently. Tonker and the others were watching the stacked baskets too. It's been done. Afraid so, sir. How about a dish of liver and onions? It's called liver and onions, sir. Sorry, said Polly, trying not to lose concentration. Well, it has struck me that some dishes are named after people when really they just made a little change to a basic recipe. We must go now, sir. Now or never, sir. What? Oh, right. Yes, we must go. It was a military manoeuvre hitherto unrecorded. The squad, coming from different directions on Polly's signal, arrived at the baskets just ahead of the women who'd proposed to take them up, grabbed the handles and advanced. Only then did Polly realise that probably no one else wanted the job and were only too happy to let idiot newcomers take the strain. The baskets were big and the wet washing was heavy. Wazza and Igorina could barely lift one basket between them. A couple of soldiers were waiting by the door. They looked bored and paid little attention. It was a long walk to the elevator. Polly hadn't been able to picture it when it had been described. You had to see it. It really was just a big open box of heavy timbers attached to a thick rope which ran up and down in a sort of chimney in the rock. When they were aboard, one of the soldiers hauled on a much thinner rope that disappeared up into the darkness. The other one lit a couple of candles, whose only apparent role was to make the darkness more gloomy. "No fainting now, girls," he said. His mates chuckled. "Two of them and seven of us," Polly thought. The copper stick banged against her leg as she moved. All the girls carried one somewhere, and she knew for a fact that Tonka was limping because she had strapped a washing dolly under her dress. That was for serious washerwomen. It was a long stick with what looked like a three-legged milking stool on the end of it, the better for agitating clothes in a big cauldron of boiling water. You could probably smash a skull with it. The stone walls dropped past as the platform rose.
"How thrilling!" trilled Daphne. "And this goes all the way up to your big castle, does it?"
"Oh, no, miss. Gotta go up through the rock first, miss. Lots of old workings and everything before we get that high."
"Oh, I thought we were in the castle already!"
Blouse gave Polly a worried look.
"No, miss. There's just the wash-house down here, 'cause of the water. Ah, it's a climb and a half even to the lower cellars. Lucky for you there's this elevator, eh?"
"Wonderful, Sergeant," said Blouse, and allowed Daphne back.
"How does it work?"
"It's corporal, miss," said the string puller, touching his forelock. "It's pulled up and down by prisoners in a treadmill, miss."
"Oh, how horrid!"
"Oh, no, miss, it's quite humane. If you're free after work, I could take you up and show you the mechanism."
"That would be lovely, Sergeant."
Polly put her hand over her eyes. Daphne was a disgrace to womanhood.